Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the AC Report. I'm Sate AC DeNiro, your host, and just 1 week away from Thanksgiving. Hard to believe that the college season only has a couple more weeks left. This week, we'll go over, of course, my news and notes of the week that I picked up. I'll go over the value in taking underdogs. I heard this on a program last week, and I thought it'd be an interesting topic to cover. Then, of course, we'll go through some games and give some free picks. Of course, as always, you can get this week's picks for free simply by registering on my site, www.acdenaro.com. Normal 7 games, 4 college, 3 pro, 2 best bets this week. They go pretty early, so you might want to, if you're a podcaster, you might miss out on them. So first, let's see what I observed in the world of football. I would not be surprised if we saw a 2-loss team in the playoffs. And here's how I can see that scenario panning out. Let's say Ohio State beats Michigan State today, and Michigan beats Ohio State next week and wins the Big Ten champ. You have a 2-loss Big Ten champ. You already have a 2-loss Pac-12 champ at a minimum. Let's say Stanford beats Notre Dame at home. You got a 2-loss Notre Dame team. In the SEC, let's say either Florida State beats Florida or Auburn beats Alabama, and then the other one beats the other in the championship game, you have a 2-loss SEC champ. Are you going to take like a 1-loss Baylor or a 1-loss TCU or a 1-loss Ohio State over 2-loss champs? That could be interesting because none of those teams would have a lot of what you would call good wins. So don't be surprised if you see at least one 2-loss team in the playoffs. But now, since we're getting near, I don't like to do my top 4 or 5 since there's still a lot of football left, 3 weeks. But I'll give you my top 5 teams on how I think they're playing, not how I think they'll be voted. I would put Alabama 1, Ohio State 2. I would have Notre Dame 3, Oklahoma 4, and Clemson 5. Now, some people might be like, well, how can you have Clemson number 5? Well, I'm just not sure how good they are. They played an okay Florida State team at home and a Notre Dame team that had their quarterback get hurt the week before. I think Notre Dame would beat them today. That's why I have them 5 right now. But a lot can change as those teams in front of them have a lot of big games left. And finally, on the injury front, Utah running back Booker, probably their top player on offense, out for the year with a knee injury. So keep that in mind. Over in the NFL, I had here that Cleveland should play Manziel the rest of the year. And, of course, they said they would. So I guess that's not really news. Not that I think he's that good, but at least find out what you have. He's in his second year. Your team's going nowhere. Might as well see what you have. The problems with the Packers I see, not Aaron Rodgers, it's at the point of attack. They're getting beat at the lines of scrimmage. And that's hard to change. So keep that going forward. But if they don't get better in that area, they're going to be getting in there as a wild card and have to go on the road for some playoff games. Denver obviously benched Manning. I know they're disguising it around an injury, but I think he's done. New Orleans fired their coach, defensive coordinator Rob Ryan. Why he still had a job at this point, I don't know. He must have been on that Matt Millen plan. You just wondered how those guys had jobs for as long as they did. Nick Foles benched for St. Louis. Doesn't look like that trade is working out for either team that well, the Eagles and St. Louis, although they're getting a second-round pick, so I guess you have to say it works out better for them. And then Seattle, when you look at – there's some internal issues with this team. If you look at the stats, they look like they have the last few years, really good offense and defense. They're just not making plays. There's some internal, coaches calling out the quarterback – publicly, that's never good, and I don't know if you're going to be able to change that. Again, I think a 9-7 team will get in the playoff, but right now, with that home loss to Arizona, they got to be looking at a wild card at best. And they're going to have to catch either Atlanta or Minnesota or Green Bay. Wouldn't be surprised if they're not in the playoff. Okay, so let's move on to this week's topic, is the advantage of taking underdogs. In particular, it was the comparing the college and a pro. As you know, if you listen to this program, I always say try to make a case for an underdog. The main reason is the odds maker knows that that the public bet favors and inflate lines that way. So that's where I always start. But that doesn't mean, I mean, always fade the fade. I mean, if you look at the breakdown, it's probably pretty close to 50%. Probably a little more to the underdog. It's not like 60-40 in favor of underdogs. What the debate was, not so much taking underdogs. It was comparing, is it better to take underdogs in college or in pro? I would say in the NFL, it's definitely yes, for this reason. Teams are evenly matched, supposedly. Obviously, the quarterback position can cover up a lot of warts. But theoretically, you know, teams are evenly matched. Everyone is a professional. It's their job to go out and play football. That kind of takes the emotion out. They don't have to worry about style points. There's no voting system when getting to the playoffs. It's purely based on record. And in the NFL, the styles are mostly similar. You have a few spread teams, you know, teams running tempo, but ultimately it's the styles are the same. Most of them are passing the setup to run, but most teams aren't throwing it on every down just to throw it on every down. They really would like to run it, but that's kind of the way it used to be, the old way. Run sets up the pass, now it's the other way. But if you look at the play breakdown, the winning team is still pretty close to run pass percentages. So the stats are the major indicator in pro football. Obviously a lot more predictable to do the pros. The rosters don't change as much. So I would say overall, certainly compared to college, there's value in taking underdogs in the NFL. Over in college, it's a maybe or a maybe not. Some almost go to the exact opposite reasons that I just said there. But obviously the talent level is not even. I mean, in the NFL, if you see a line that's a touchdown, and that's pretty significant. In college, man, it's not unusual to see 28-point lines. Not so much in conference games, but still the lines are a lot bigger and the talent levels are different. So it's a lot more difficult to set a line in the first place. You have the emotion factor much bigger. You're talking about 18, 20, 21-year-old kids. The styles are different. You have a lot of tempo teams. Your rosters are deeper, so there's a lot more plays in a college football game. And then, of course, the key one's probably the style points. You need to look good, a lot of these teams. In the SEC, you don't. In the SEC, you can be like an NFL team. Go win your game, put in your subs, and be ready for next man up. You know, the Baylors, the Oregons, you know, those teams like that, they keep their foot on the pedal, and they'll run up scores. So from that standpoint, you know, it's not advantageous to take college. Plus, when you're at this time of the year, when you're down, teams, you know, 2-7, just having a miserable season, it's not like the pros where you keep going. In the late December, pros will probably not give the 100% that you would think, but in college, even so more, even when you're on the road. So college, it's a little different. It's a maybe or a maybe not. In the beginning of the year, I would say yes, because with the roster turnovers, you're just not really sure how good teams are, especially if you have a quarterback coming back. I would say that there's value in an underdog in college. But certain teams with their style, like Baylor always keeps going. It's not, I would almost never take an underdog when I'm talking about Oregon and Baylor and they're good, because they will run the score up to cover it. So keep that in mind. If you're a team that needs to look good, you're in a lesser conference, not advantageous to go against that team when you're getting points. When you get into that one loss, comparing resumes, style points matter when you're talking about teams on the outside looking in. So the NFL, certainly it is. In college, it's a maybe or maybe not, depends on the situation. But I would always recommend try to make that case for get to the first point where it's like, oh, this team needs to look good. Okay, then there goes the case for the dog out the window. So let's move on. Talk to this week's action. We will start off with Florida and Florida Atlantic. I looked pretty hard at this game, a big number, 31. Florida's got Florida State on deck next week. They're already in the SEC championship. They have to win. They lose one of these games. Well, in the scenario I presented, they could still possibly get into the playoffs. Good on defense, but the running game is still a bit iffy. Only 3.7 per attempt. Yeah, that shouldn't matter in this game. You're playing a Florida Atlantic team that's, you know, a weaker Sun Belt team. I think should be better. I'm surprised they're 2-8. I thought they'd be better, but knowing how Florida plays, I think I would take the 31 points in this game of Florida Atlantic. Michigan and Penn State. Penn State comes off the bye. They let us down in that Northwestern game. Couldn't stop the backup quarterback a couple weeks ago. Pretty good defense. Not bad on off. Statistically not a bad team, except on third down, only 28%. That's not making plays on the key downs. Taking on a Michigan team that's really one fluke play away from being a college football playoff contender and having that game with Ohio State actually being a big game for the first time in a while. And it still might be. If they win this game, I mean, they hold their destiny. As long as Ohio State beats Michigan State, you're like that. You're Michigan, you're rooting for Ohio State today. Really good defense, you know, pretty good, pretty solid team all around. But again, Ohio State on deck, they can't afford to look ahead, especially the way they won last week in overtime. So I think they'll play well, but, you know, it's going to be a tough game. I think it goes down to the wire and it's a field goal game. I'll take Penn State, you know, plus the 4.5. Moving on, let's go to Purdue in Iowa. Purdue, you know, pretty bad team, 2-8, probably looking at another coaching change again, probably one of those Mac guys. Pretty bad on offense, bad on third down. Mine opened at 17 up to 21. Iowa might be caught in a little bit of a look-ahead spot here. Again, they need to win out. They will not get in as a one-loss team. They just don't have a good win. The best they're going to have is an undefeated season with a win over Ohio State. Even if they say lost to Nebraska, who they have next week, so they could be looking ahead. A win over, like, a Michigan, I don't know how good that would be. You might be thinking it might be tough to keep a one-loss Big Ten champ out, especially with two-loss teams going out, but this is the team that you would be able to keep out if it happened. Kind of like Purdue a little bit in this game. I think they'll catch Iowa a little nap. I don't think Iowa will be super sharp today, as they probably look ahead a little bit past this game so they can have Nebraska in the Big Ten championship. Possibly something after that. We'll take the 3 touchdowns plus with Purdue. North Carolina, Virginia Tech. North Carolina is on as good a roll as anybody. However, they are doing it against absolutely nobody. I challenge you to find a good win on that schedule. So if they run the table, let's say they beat Clemson. I don't know if they get in as a one-loss ACC champ. One good win isn't good enough. And their loss is bad. They lost to South Carolina. Granted, first game of the year, they probably beat them by 4 touchdowns today, but it still counts. Pretty, really good offense. Defense has gotten better. Still a little weak against the run, which is hurting them on third down defense, but they're just outscoring teams. Laying 6.5 at Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech is going to show up. It's Beamer's last home game. That would make me take Virginia Tech in this game. They're kind of obviously been a fading program over the years. Still have a chance for a bowl, but I think they're going to play tough at home in this game. Possibly spring an upset. I wouldn't be totally surprised if that happened, but I think that the Hokies, I mean, are going to play hard in this game for the guy that basically built their program. Michigan State, Ohio State, of course, the first thing that stands out in this game is the number, pretty big number, 13 points. Michigan State needs to win to stay alive in the Big Ten. I mean, they can still get in. If they win out, they could be in the playoffs, so they're still not dead. It just doesn't seem like they're that good, but if they win out, they'll be a one-loss champ. Some well-coached team. Quarterback's a little banged up. He'll play, but probably not 100%. You kind of need to be 100% to play a team like Ohio State. With defense against the pass has been pretty bad. 7.5 yards attempt. Giving up some big plays. If you look at the third down numbers, they're really good. So giving up big plays for scores, that doesn't bode well. and you're playing on an Ohio State team that's, you know, obviously good all around. It could be a little better on third down, only 39%. They do beat themselves with some mistakes this year. That's a very Urban Meyer-like team. But based on the line alone, it seems like they're just begging you to take Michigan State, so that means we'll take Ohio State in this game. Northwestern and Wisconsin, surprisingly, the Northwestern is the right team here. We wouldn't know by the line. They're getting double digits. They're 8-2. It's an odd 8-2. When you think of Northwestern, you think of, you know, the spread attack, offense, you know, being bad on defense. But it's the opposite this year. Their offense has been terrible. They're running the ball okay, but their passing game, 5 yards, 5.1 per attempt. That's like, that's barely, you know, forward pass error. That's just awful. But the defense has been surprisingly good against the pass, 5.5 yards. You can run the ball a little bit on their team. As bad as their passing game has been, still converting on third down, you know, winning a lot of close games to be 8-2. I don't think they're that good of a team, but, you know, 8-2 is 8-2. And Wisconsin's 8-2. It's obvious. It's a little different. You look at Northwestern as an 8-2, and then, which you were like, yay. Then you get Wisconsin. It's like, oh, really? 8-2? It's a disappointing 8-2. Pretty good defense, you know, pretty good on third down. They haven't really beaten anybody. Yeah, you look at their two losses are to Iowa and Alabama, two teams that could be in the playoff. When you look at Wisconsin, you're like, yeah, this seems like they're a little bit down compared to prior years. But I like them in this game. I think they'll beat Northwestern rather handily. LSU, Mississippi. Schedule is not kind to LSU at the end here. And we all kind of knew that when they had that nice high ranking, that it would be tough, a tough month in November, especially physically. Had that tough game against Alabama, physical game against Arkansas. And they got another physical game against the Mississippi team coming off a bye, coming off that bad loss to Arkansas. I just don't know how LSU is going to finish this year. That last drive in that Alabama game was telling. When it was 9 minutes left, and they scored the last score to get it to 14, and they just had the ball, ran down their throat. They just ran the clock out with 9 minutes to go. That had to be disheartening, and it certainly was when you looked at the body language of LSU, and that seems to take over last week. If you watch that game, they just seemed like they never got out of the gate. Taking on a Jekyll and Hyde Mississippi team. Just not sure which one you're going to get. But I think you're going to get the one that's going to win the game today by at least 4 points. Clemson and Wake Forest. The problem for Clemson is a soft schedule. You have to win two tough games back-to-back in the playoff. And they don't have that all season. It's just like they've only had two tough games all year. Now they might get in the North Carolina team. And it won't be tough physically, at least, but they might be challenged if they can move the ball. Statistically, they look pretty good. I mean, if they run the table, they'll obviously be in the playoff. Whether they hold on to that one spot remains to be seen. But now Wake Forest, another bad team, 3-7. Granted, they don't have the talent of a Clemson. Can't see them doing much in this game. 30 points, I think Clemson will probably roll them. Utah, UCLA. UCLA is another Jekyll and Hyde team. Bad home loss to Washington State. The team was a contender, supposedly, the beginning of the year. I played a freshman quarterback, so you get the good and the bad with that. But pretty good pass defense. The run defense is a little soft, almost 4.5 yards a carry. I think that's hurt them in some close games. Taking on a Utah team with that loss last week, even if they run the table, I just don't know how. Now they have that win over Michigan. That's still a good win. If they were to win out, could they get in? Possibly. I mean, it's not out of the question. Lost their running back, Booker. I think that will hurt them, but I think they'll get the win here. This is a game that I would not touch. Small line, 2.5. That's not sure what UCLA team is going to show up. I would lean towards Utah in this game if I had to. Navy and Tulsa. Navy looking for the New Year Six. Actually, right now they're the highest ranked team, I believe. I didn't see what the Houston was, but they have to play each other if it comes down to it. Navy, very good offense. Run that triple option. It's hard to defend. Defense isn't that bad. It's certainly not as bad as it's been in recent years. It's taken on a Tulsa team who has a chance at a bowl. Pretty good passing game. I mean, they can hit some plays on in the passing game, but they have a very bad defense. I don't know how they're going to stop Navy. Navy doesn't fumble. I think they score on every possession one way or another. I'm probably going to put up at least 56 in this game. I don't know if Tulsa's going to get 44 on Navy. So we'll go with Navy in this game. Baylor and Oklahoma State. Baylor coming off that first loss. We had Oklahoma last week as a free play, as we gave out. This game, looking at a pick'em, it seems like an odd line because Oklahoma State seems to be playing better. Not only is Baylor playing a backup quarterback, but they might be playing a backup quarterback. As their quarterback, Stidham, is questionable. Game time decision, took a few hits in that Oklahoma game. Still pretty potent offense, and that pass defense isn't great. Taking on an Oak State team, you know, obviously if they win out, they'll be in the playoff. No good non-conference wins. Not great on third down defense, giving up 40%. I guess every team is giving up close to 7 yards per pass in this conference, and it's optional. I'm going to take Baylor in this game. I think they're going to rebound, and their style will be a little bit too much for Oklahoma State in this game. Boston College at Notre Dame. BC comes in off a bye, having not a good year, 3-7. They just can't do anything on offense. As good as their defense has been, I mean, their defense is pretty good. It's certainly not a 7-loss defense, but the way their offense has been brutal, putting them in tough spots, I just can't see them doing anything in this game. Kind of a neutral field game. Notre Dame's listed at the home as the home team, but they're playing it at Fenway Park, which I think is kind of close to Boston College, but I'm not sure whose fans are going to be louder. What I do know is there won't be as many as you'd expect because it's a smaller field, but obviously a Notre Dame team that I think if they win out, they'll be in the playoff. We'll have that win over Stanford to go if they get it. You can play a little bit better on against the run. You know, 4.5 yards per attempt. I don't think you can win a championship like that. You have to play better there. Their defensive numbers should look good after this game because Boston College doesn't do anything on offense. Maybe it's too much firepower. I think Boston College will obviously be motivated playing Notre Dame, but I think they'll just get worn down and Notre Dame wins by 3 touchdowns. Cal and Stanford, of course, the Stanford band playing one of the greatest plays in the history of football, still in my opinion. Cal's one of those teams just that I see is soft. And when they have to play a team like Stanford that grounds and pounds, I just don't know if they can hold up for 4 quarters. Pretty good offense, not so good defense. They'll make a bowl this year, sort of, so that's good, first time in a while. Playing on a Stanford team that surprisingly got beat last week, so they're probably out for playoff. If they win out, they could still get in. They'll have 2 losses, but and a win over Notre Dame, which would be good, but it seems like this team, you know, is really good on offense. Something seems to be missing when it comes down to the close games, and they've lost a couple of them. But you got to go Stanford in this game. I just don't think that Cal can hang for 4 quarters, rivalry game or not. Moving on, before we move on to the pros, we'll go with our free play. And that will be Georgia State over South Alabama. This is one of those odd line games. Georgia State's a 2-point favorite. South Alabama is contending for a bowl, and yet Georgia State is a 3-6 favorite. A team that hasn't been, well, neither team's been around that much, but South Alabama was at least in a bowl game last year. Not a good third down team. Not that great on defense, giving up 5 yards per run. Neither team, you know, I mean, they like to beat themselves. That's part of the problem, but we'll go with Georgia State for the fact that they can hit big plays in the passing game. I mean, 8.5 yards per attempt is pretty good. I think they will hit enough passes in this game, coupled with this odd line that's telling me something. Georgia State's not usually favored against anybody, so we'll take Georgia State in this game over South Alabama. Moving on to the pros. first game up will be Baltimore and St. Louis. Probably not the ugliest game on the board, one of the ugliest games on the board. I would certainly not touch this game. Case Keenum will get the start for St. Louis, so one reason why you can't take them. I'm off a bad home loss to Chicago. That kind of loss that keeps you out of the playoffs. Good point of attack team, just not doing anything on third down, only 24%. You're on a Raven team that's just having an awful season. I'm embarrassed to admit this was my Super Bowl pick preseason, but this year they seem to be making mistakes, and they're awful on third down. Every other year, that's the opposite. It's one of the staples of Baltimore, and that's the reason why they're having a bad year. They were a little unlucky last week, but you know what? You made a dumb play committing a penalty, too. So that's kind of your own fault. But so I'm going to hold my nose and take Baltimore in this game. Washington and Carolina. Washington still alive in the NFC East. Taking on a Carolina team that were just seemingly waiting for that trap letdown game. Just not happening. Faded Carolina in the last few weeks and they burned us. Well-coached team, good physical team. Not great on third down. Only 36% converting on offense. Really good pass defense. A good run defense. Good solid defense. They're winning old school football. Pads under the chin strap. Run the ball. Play defense. I take the Redskins in this game. It's a pretty big number. The defense isn't great, but I think this may be the week that Carolina lets down a little. I'm not going to call for an upset, but touchdowns a lot. We'll take Washington in this game. Dallas and Miami, here's a tough game to handicap. Basically a pick'em. Romo's back. That's the good news. Bad news is they haven't won a game since he went out. But again, in the NFC East, even at 2-7, they're still alive. Probably have to win out. You just don't know the kind of rust. I mean, when Roethlisberger came back from not as long a break, he looked rusty and turned the ball over. That could happen here. Taking on a Jekyll, this isn't the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL. I don't know what is. Just don't know which Miami team is going to show up. Looking at the line, I think I'll go with Dallas in this game. They'll win this game outright. Well, I mean, just pick them so they would have to win outright. Another tough game. I wouldn't take it, but if you had to, I would take Dallas. Tampa Bay and Philadelphia. Tampa Bay is one of a young and improving team. Yeah, they make the mistakes that you expect from a young team, but pretty good offense. You look at the numbers, they move the ball. Not the best third down team, obviously. That's what hurts this team. Taking on an Eagle team that's going to have Sanchez in there. Bradford knocked out. They need this game, but this is kind of part of the year where that tempo offense or the plays that the defense has been on the field, I think, is going to start to show up for the Eagles. Defense has been pretty good. I mean, you can't complain about defense, even in the spots they've been put in by not only the number of plays they're on the field, but the ineptness of the offense. I mean, their offense only converts 32%. So considering the number of plays, it's a pretty good defense. But we'll go with Tampa Bay in this game. Six is a lot. I don't trust Sanchez. I think the defense will be a little tired. Yeah, you got to worry about a bad turnover the Eagles are an opportunistic team, ball hawking the ball. And I really wouldn't be surprised if Tampa won that game straight up, actually. So we'll go with the Buccaneers plus six. Atlanta, Indianapolis. Colts coming in off a bye. Luck's still out. Actually, both teams coming in off a bye. I think Atlanta's being exposed a little. It seemed like a lock for the playoffs. Now they're probably a wild card. Pretty good offense. Run defense hasn't been bad, but they're not great on third down. They're taking on a Colts team. It's been obviously one of the big disappointments. They got that nice win over the Broncos, and again, they're in a weak division, so if they win it, they're getting a home game, and Luck will probably be back for that. We'll go with the Falcons in this game at home over Matt Hasselbeck. Oakland and Detroit. This game has been a pretty decent line movement. Oh, I saw the Raiders opening as a 2-point favorite. Now Detroit is favored. So there's some money coming in on Detroit. I originally had Oakland circled here. I think I'm going to change on that. Pretty solid offense. You know, defenses, I think, can be a little bit better. Carr, the quarterback, really stepping up. Going on the road, taking on a bad Detroit team. That, you know, I said you can't take the team until they showed something. All they did, they showed. I had a win at Green Bay. Is that more on how bad Green Bay is? But I'm going to go with Detroit in this game just because the way the line moved. Another thing, the line telling me something. Why would people be all over Detroit in this game? The smart money. So that tells me Detroit's the play in this game. Kansas City and San Diego. Big road win for the Chiefs last week at Denver. They're a pretty decent team here. Not great on third down. Well coached. They don't beat themselves with mistakes. Lost some games early. They're not out of the playoff hunt yet. They can make a nice little run. Taking on a San Diego team that's having a disappointing season. They are coming off a bye. It's not the worst. Well, it'll be the worst defense playing this week since the Saints are off. But still have a puncher's chance with Rivers in the offense. Yeah, they lost Keenan Allen. But, you know, division home dog, still the best bet in football. I think we'll take the field goal with San Diego in this game. Seattle and San Francisco. San Fran coming in off the bye. Had a win behind Blaine Gabbert, a quarterback at Atlanta. Still a bad offense. I still don't think much of this team. Statistically, as I said, Seahawks look good. Tough home loss to Arizona. They pretty much can't win this division, I don't think, unless Arizona just collapses. So I think they'll win this game. Pretty big number, but if I had to go with it, go with Seattle. Green Bay, Minnesota, 3 losses in a row for the Packers. They need this game. Like I said, their problems are at the point of attack on both sides. Taking on a Minnesota team that, if you listen to my preseason podcast, I had as a surprise. Now they've achieved my expectations a little bit at this point. They're going to run the ball behind Peterson, and why wouldn't you do that? He's having another great year. They're a little suspect against the run, not great on third down. And now the bullseye's kind of on that national TV game. Hunted versus the hunter. It's totally different. You got a second-year quarterback. Well, he's shown improvement. He's still not what I would call a stud. He's like a – we're still talking C-plus quarterback play from this team. Taking on a Packer team that desperately needs a win. And somehow, in spots like this, always find a way. And I think Green Bay will find a way and win at Minnesota. Sunday night game, Cincinnati and Arizona. That's some big line movement in this. Opened at 2.5, up to 5. I think it's based on overreaction from last week. Cincinnati looked terrible at home on offense against Houston. And Arizona, in front of the national TV, had a big division win at Big Bad Seattle. Two good teams. I think two really good teams. Wouldn't be surprised if they met up again. We're going to go with Cincinnati in this game, I think. That this line is an overreaction. I can see a little bit of a flat spot here for Arizona. If you saw the way they were excited just on first downs in that game. Now you're out of conference. I see a flat spot here, and I think Cincinnati wouldn't be surprised if they got that win straight up. Then the Monday night game, Buffalo, New England, made about a touchdown there. New England with that big come-from-behind win over the Giants. Still aren't running the ball that well. Pretty good defense, actually. Can't complain about the defense at all this year for the Patriots. Of course, you have Brady, and you always have that chance that they'll score a lot of points. Taking on a Buffalo team. With a few extra days of rest, they played on that Thursday night. Pretty solid running game. Pretty deep back in a road spot like this. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they can cover the 7 points. So before we go, we'll give our free play in the NFL, and that will be the Chicago Bears over Denver. When you look at Denver, it's pretty easy to handicap. Very bad offense, very good defense. They're beating themselves with mistakes. Now Manning is out, which that might actually be a good thing. Who would have thunk that in the beginning? Yeah, the offense gets better without Peyton Manning. Would have never guessed that in the beginning. Taking on a Chicago team that has beaten itself with mistakes, but also hasn't quit. I mean, this team could have easily packed it in, and they haven't. Nice road win. That's destroyed St. Louis on the road. You know, still, the defense isn't that bad this year. Still a little trouble against the run. Might get Forte back. But we'll go with the Bears in this game. I just don't trust Brock Osweiler. First start on the road. Out of conference. Laying a point. I mean, it's basically a pick'em, but you have to win the game to cover. So we'll fade Denver in this spot and go with the Bears. So that will do it for this week. Remember, next week is Thanksgiving. So a lot of games will be played by the time we come on to air. I will probably give a few free plays out. So certainly go to the website, www.acdenaro.com. Or if you follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Twitter is @AC_DeNaro. Facebook is just AC DeNaro. Give some opinions on games, obviously. You can't bet the games after they're played, and that would be great if we could do that. But just remember that half the board will be played by the time we come to air next week. So certainly check into my website. Get the picks for free, 7-day trial, just by registering, www.acdenaro.com. You can download my free report, What the Sports Books Don't Want You to Know. I cover basically a lot of my topics on the shows come from that. So it would come in case you don't want to just go back and download all the other previous shows. You can just read it there. Go for a sports book. Bovado is pretty good. I use them. Our packages start as low as $25 per week. But if you get a season package, our guarantee is that if we don't make money, the next year is free. Now, with the smaller, the weekly and monthly, but we think long-term, not short-term, that will carry you until we do if we don't have a winning show, a winning record, based on units at that free either one. So just remember that. Just remember, if you lose, I lose. I bet these same games. Since I'm being monitored, handicapperwatchdog.com, I can't just go out and say one thing and then bet the other. Because my picks are documented. So hopefully you'll join me. We'll build our bankroll one game at a time. Like I said, it is a grind, not a sprint. And enjoy the holiday and some pretty important football coming up the next few weeks in college. Have a great day.